All right, well, it's good to see you today. Today being the first Sunday in the month of May. Can you believe May is already here? Less than 3 weeks now, our school will be out, and kids will be going home for the summer and things like that. But we want to thank you for getting to be here today. Today we begin lesson number 12 in our series of lessons entitled, In the Beginning Was the Word. And this is out of the book of John. Today, we're going to start on John chapters 18 and 19. And I want us to look at this today. The lesson is entitled, Arrest, Trials, and Death of Jesus. Arrest, Trials, and Death of Jesus. Now, our lesson theme verse is found in John chapter 19. Verse 30. This is what the Bible said. John wrote here. And he said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Aren't you glad that the plan of salvation is complete? It's finished. I don't have to do anything to work for it. I don't have to do anything to pay for it. The price has been paid. The debt has been paid. And Jesus paid it all. And I want to ask you this question today. As I sat thinking about this lesson and how I want to apply it to my heart, to my life, I asked myself this question. What has been my response to what Jesus has done for me? What has Jesus done for me that I ought to be thankful for? I saw the other day, and I saved this on my phone, a little picture, and I wish I could have been able to put it up here for you to show it to you. But it has a butterfly sitting at a table with a caterpillar. And over the caterpillar, it says sinner, and over the butterfly, it says saint. And the caterpillar sitting under the sinner sign is looking at the butterfly and he says, you've changed. And the butterfly says, we're supposed to. That's a good message. You know what? Are you a caterpillar or are you a butterfly today? Amen. And you know what? We change. God changes us. But the question is, what has been my response to what Jesus has done for me? What has been my response? What has been my life change? Has there been a change in my life since Christ saved me? You know, I think about it so many times, and you know, I ask this question, has there ever been a time in your life when you truly felt like that you were making a difference in somebody else's life? Has there been a time in your life that you feel like you've made a difference in somebody's life? My granddaughter, I told you about it the other week, called and said that she was going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And she did. And she was so excited because that's a step. It's growing. She's growing in the Lord. And she wanted to call us and let us know all about it. And we've been trying to encourage them. But I asked the question, has there ever been a time in your life when you, where you willingly and you lovingly wanted to do something that would make a big difference in someone else's life? You know, that's why we run the buses. That's why we teach Sunday school. That's why we go out soul winning. That's why we try to bring things to help people, okay? To try to do things to help those that have been saved. I had somebody the other day that wanted a Bible, and they said, but I just don't have the money for a Bible. I said, all you got to do is ask. I got some right here. And I gave them a brand new Bible, and they were so excited about having a Bible. You know what? Christians, it seemed like nowadays, a lot of folks throw their Bible in the back of the car. It sits up under the window. The sun bakes it. The pages all curl up. They go to open the thing up. The pages fall out. And it just sits there. And man, here's somebody that said, man, I just like to have a Bible. Could I have a Bible? And I said, that's why I've got them in here. And I just give them those things. Listen, I want to do something for somebody. And you know why I want to do something for somebody? Because I had somebody that did something for me. And his name was Jesus. He did for me what I could not do for myself. And from the time appointed that he came into this world as a tiny babe in a manger, from the time that he was laid in that manger, his purpose and his plan for life was set. I don't like these videos and stuff that come out and they question, well, Jesus didn't really know. They had to have Mary there to show Jesus what he needed to do. No. Jesus knew what he came to this world to do, folks. He didn't need Mother Mary to show him all these things. He knew what the plan was. Jesus made that announcement. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was you, that was me. And what Jesus did for me, man, I have an opportunity now to help try to point folks to the Savior. Amen. And you know, today, as a result of his willingness to be mocked, to be railed upon, to be spit on, man, you can do whatever you want to. You can hit me, you can smack me. I might shoot you, but no, I wouldn't do that. But don't spit on you. Good grief. That's bad. But they would spit on him and mock him and rail him and call him all kinds of names. They beat him. They stripped him naked, scourged him, put a reed in his hand and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. It would pierce down into his brow and the blood would flow down into his face where he'd already been beaten. And then they crucified him on an old rugged cross. And he endured all of that for me to back down and say, well, no, I can't tell anybody I'm a Christian. What will they say? If he did that for me, I think I can stand up for him. Amen. Listen, I want to love him today. What has been my response to what Jesus has done for me? I want this lesson to be a help, a motivator for each of us today to be what we ought to be, to be what we need to be in a world, folks, that is going to hell in a basket. Everybody, everywhere you turn around, all they want is men's applause. They want your vote for sin. And folks, we can't do that. We can't do it. So by God's grace today, I want the lesson to speak to your heart as it has spoken to my heart. And I want you to see today, listen, as we study this lesson today on the arrest and the trials and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look and see this. We owe a great debt. I owe a debt today that I'll never be able to pay. Never. But you know what? As long as I have breath in this body, I'm going to try to serve him and be a light and an example. I went to go get my hair cut yesterday. And the guy that cuts my hair, he was talking about church. How's your church doing? I said, man, we're seeing folks saved and Lord has blessed. And as soon as we can get the baptistry fixed, we're going to get some folks baptized and things like that. And you know, God is just blessing. And he said, yeah, we're going to be having a daddy-daughter dance tonight at our church. And I thought what my grandmother told me when I was growing up. She said, son, a praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. Now, that's what my grandmother used to tell me. And I thought, when did daddy-daughter dances ever become a thing that you read about in the Word of God? And they brag about it and say, this is our outreach. We're going to have a daddy-daughter dance. Folks, I owe more to God than I could ever repay him. And I want to give him my all. Because I don't know how much time we have to give our all. You know what? We don't know how long we're going to live on this earth. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And when I stand before him, I want to hear him say, "Son, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I want us to look at this thing today. And as we begin in John chapter 18, beginning in verse number 1, we see Jesus' arrest. We see his arrest. Now, after Jesus had taken the time in the garden to pray for his disciples, he not only prayed for those 11, but as we looked at it last week, he prayed for you and for me as well. Remember that? He prayed for those that would hear the word of God and listen to it and accept it and trust Christ as their Savior one day. He prayed for me. He prayed for you. That was the joy that was set before him so that he could endure the shame of the cross. The joy of your salvation, the joy of my salvation, in knowing that what he was doing would enable you and me to be with him one day in heaven. Can you imagine? I can't imagine it. The Bible talks about it here. The first few verses of chapter 18 starts in verse number 1, and it says this: "When Jesus had spoken these words," talking about how he had prayed in the garden, "he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples." Now that brook, the Kidron brook there, is a small little stream, and it flowed to the east of Jerusalem. And through the valley of Jehoshaphat, that little stream flowed there, and it divided the city from the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is here, the little brook, and then the city of Jerusalem. And I remember us standing up there on the Mount of Olives when we went to Israel and looking down and seeing the city and trying to imagine what it would have looked like 2,000 plus years ago when Jesus was there. And the garden, which was on the west side of the Mount of Olives there, it was also called the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I believe it's called the Garden of Gethsemane. But it's in this garden that we see the adversary of God, the adversary of your salvation, the accuser of the brethren, make his play. He made his play there in that garden, just as he did some 4,000 years prior to that in the Garden of Eden. You remember, all of these things seem to happen in a garden. They all happened in the beauty of God's creation. Satan came in the form of a serpent and deceived the woman, and man chose to disobey God in a garden. And now, once again, the adversary comes to a beautiful place of God's creation, and here he makes his play. And you look at verses 2 and 3. The Bible said, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted hither or thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons." And you know, it needs to be noted here too that we've noted this in previous lessons, but none of these occurrences ever took Jesus by surprise. It was all in God's plan. He did this for me. He did this for you. And God knew what was going to happen. Now I want you to look at verse number 4. John chapter 18, verse 4. "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things," it did not take him by surprise. A band of soldiers. A legion was 6,000 men. A band was 1/10 of a legion. 600 soldiers come to arrest one man. I got some new bookshelves in my office this week. The old ones were falling apart, and Brother Dave Roberts helped get some bookshelves in here, and I had to take everything out, and then I had to put everything back in, okay? And I've got a collection of Bibles that I've taken away. I don't mean it to sound that way. I have received from folks that's gotten saved. I give them a good Bible. They give me their bad Bible, all right? Their perversion of a Bible. And I've kept them in there for examples to show folks. Because when people come to me and say, well, I don't have a problem reading these other versions of the Bible, I take one out and I say, well, let me show you what's wrong with it. And then maybe you'll reconsider what you're doing. It doesn't make it simpler. It doesn't make it easier. This old Bible right here was written on a fifth and sixth grade level. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Okay. Man, I'm not. And you know what? I've got a shelf in there now that can hold all of those different perversions. And that is just scratching the surface of all the different perversions they've got out nowadays. And here, the Bible said, Jesus, knowing all of these things, okay, these 600 plus soldiers and Pharisees and this crowd coming to attack one man. And Jesus had the power to call several legions of angels to come and deliver him from it all. And yet, he kept his focus on his purpose. And what was that purpose? It was for you and for me to be able to be in heaven with him one day. He came with one purpose in mind. So Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? In verses 5 through 9, we see that band of soldiers. They didn't know who Jesus was. Some of them didn't know who Jesus was. They just heard the bad stuff about him. All the bad things. And so when they ask him, whom seek ye? The Bible said they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And again here, I want you to notice, Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the form of man, answered here, I am. The same thing he told Moses when Moses said, whom do I tell? What do I tell the people your name is? He said, just tell them, I am has sent you. I am. Not I will be, not I hope to be, not I was, but the great I am. And look here in verses 6 through 9. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went back and fell to the ground. Then ask ye them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I've told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. You see, he had the others. We saw this in the living cross. He had everybody else in mind. Their protection, their safety, their welfare. What he was doing was for you. And was for me. He said, if you seek me, then let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou hast given me, have I lost none. And here we see the response of the soldiers to Jesus in the next two verses. And we see Peter's response to the band of soldiers, okay? And Judas' betrayal. Verse 10 says, then Simon Peter, having a sword, he drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. You remember that in the program, in the living cross? Peter still just didn't understand why Jesus had to die. He didn't understand that. He loved him. He had been with him for three and a half years. He had been taught of Jesus, the things of God. And Jesus said, they're not going to kill you, Lord. We know who you are. But because of his lack of understanding, Peter did something totally out of fear and desperation. And I think he wasn't aiming at his ear. I think he's going to take his head off. He's going to lob at his head, and the guy ducks, and he cut his ear right off. But then we read in verse number 11, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And Jesus again tries to help Peter here to see and to understand that God's will for Jesus is not in line with Peter's will. And you know what? God had a purpose and a plan. And now Peter doesn't understand the situation, but now he feels like an utter failure. You ever do something stupid and then you just feel like an utter failure? Boy, I've done that many a time. Good grief. You don't understand. You do something out of desperation, and then you come back and you think after it's too late, why in the world did I ever do that? Yeah? Well, that's how Peter felt. And it's all because he fully did not understand what was happening. Folks, when we don't understand, that's where we have to trust the Word of God. We have to anchor our soul in the Word of God. Just drop your anchor and wait out the storm. So, I don't know if you can put yourself in Peter's shoes or not, but I certainly can. But look at this. Now we see Jesus' appearance before the authorities. We see him as he's arrested. And now, beginning in verse number 12, Jesus is brought before Annas, then before Caiaphas. The Bible said here in verse 12, then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient, it was very important that one man should die for the people. You remember that? Back in John chapter 11, we talked about that. Now, John focuses on Peter's first denial. And this is where the rubber hits the road in Peter's life. This is where Peter faces Peter. Okay? Look what the Bible said in verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now, who is that other disciple? It's John. John is going with Peter there. Peter is going in. He's following Jesus, but he's following afar off. And John goes in because he knows Caiaphas, evidently. And Peter and John go in together. But in verse 16, look what the Bible said. Peter doesn't go all the way in. But Peter stood at the door without. In other words, he's just standing on the outside of the door. He's following to see what's going to happen, but he's following afar off. Now, John is following close by Jesus. He didn't fear. He went with Jesus. But Peter is standing way back because he's afraid of what's going to happen. Now, I've been saved since I was 15. And there have been times when I've had Sunday school teachers take me out visiting and things like that. And I was scared to go in. I had a guy one day, man, I was with Big John. Big John was about 6'8". He was our bus director. And he said, we're going to go over here and visit these houses and these little trailer parks. And we went in. And the guy came out of his house. And I was with one of the other boys, Mike Alexander. Mike was blonde-headed, and my hair was dark, okay, dark brown. And this guy was a bad guy that we were visiting. But he had kids that we wanted to get to ride the bus. But we were afraid, and Big John said, I'm not afraid. I'll go up there to that door. And he did. And the guy came to the door with a shotgun. And he told Big John, he said, if you don't get off my doorstep, I'm going to start shooting. And I'm going to start with that little black-headed boy right there. And I looked at Mike, And I knew who he was talking about. And I said, come on, Brother John, we'll talk to him later, okay? And John didn't want to back down. John didn't back down. I didn't go up to the door. I stayed back. I just kept walking back because I was the little dark-headed boy, okay, that guy was talking about, okay? And I didn't know what was going to happen. But you know what? I've been out visiting also. When I was in the house of some kids that rode my bus, and a group from the Hell's Angels were there. And I went into that house, the George and Becky's house, and their little niece rode my bus, and they had all been drinking. And was I scared to be in there? Yeah, I was scared to be in there. But I invited every one of those guys to come to church. And I got ready to leave, and one of them stood up over there and said, oh, Preacher, you're not going nowhere. You're going to stay here with us. You're going to stay in here with us today. And he had his beer out in his hand and all this other stuff. And I just sat on the couch. And you know what I did? I prayed. I said, please, Lord, you got to work it out. I came in here to be a witness to them. I've tried to be a witness, but, Lord, they're not wanting to listen. And I know what's going to happen. They're going to get in a fight. And George was a boxer. He was from down one of the Latin countries, and he was a boxer by trade. And these guys had been there trying to get him out of the church. And he started drinking again, and it just broke my heart. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to do something. And while I'm sitting in there, I get ready to go up, and the guy says, no, you're not going nowhere, preacher. And he pushes me back over to the couch. And I'm just sitting there waiting, praying. And you know what happened? All those guys got into a fight. Right there in the house. They get to fighting and carrying on. And the Lord says, okay, now you can leave. And they never even knew I was gone. Now, I say all that to tell you, I've been on both sides of where Peter's at. I was scared. I didn't know what to do, and I stood outside the door. Maybe you've been there, but I've been there where Peter was at. I know what he felt like. I know the shame of being afraid. I know the shame of being fearful. And maybe you say, well, I'd go sowing, but I'm afraid to talk to anybody. I'm just afraid to do that. I just don't know what to do. Peter didn't know what to do. But he followed after John. And when Peter stood outside the door, something happened. He stood outside the door without Jesus. John had gone in. And in verse 17, look what the Bible said. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? Aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you going to come in? And look what Peter said. I am not. He denied him. Now remember, this is the same Peter that stood and vehemently said, I'll die with you, but I'll never deny you. And Jesus kind of looked at him and said, Peter, really? Because this night before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And that already had that thought in Peter's mind. He was a failure. Have you ever felt like a failure? Have you ever felt like you just, man, what's the use? I'm a failure. That's the way Peter felt. That's the way I felt, standing there with Big John. I'm wanting to get out of Dodge because that guy's going to start shooting at the little black-haired boy, and that's me. I'm scared. I don't want to go in. And yet I've seen God get the guys fighting and says, okay, I've taken care of that. Now you go on and do the rest of your work. I've been on both sides of that fence. And look what the Bible said. Upon seeing Peter dragged in by John, that little young damsel looks at Peter and maybe not in a critical way, but just in concern. And he asked Peter, and he says, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" And folks, that's the question we got to ask ourselves today. Am I one of his disciples? Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And folks, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, we've got a job. And our job is to be fishers of men. We're to tell folks about Christ, what Christ came to do for us. And I ask myself, am I being a disciple? Am I one of his disciples, one of those that's following after him? Am I being one of those? I don't know if she was mocking him, or I don't know if she saw him with John and he didn't go in with John, and John's up there with Jesus and she's standing at the door holding the door. It's cold outside. And she said, "Well, are you with him or not?" You know? And Peter backs up and says, "Not me. Not me." Boy, can you imagine how he felt on the inside? Man. You go back and you look at all this and how that Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 26, though everybody else is offended, I'll never be offended. I'll never back down. And here he did. Look at verse 18. In verse number 18, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Because of fear, we see Peter now leaving his place with the Lord Jesus. And instead, now he's warming himself by the fire of those who had arrested Jesus. Think about that just a minute. He's standing out there with the crowd that's brought Jesus in to be crucified. You know, when I was studying on this, both Luke and Matthew recorded this. And the Bible said in Luke chapter 22, verse 62, and in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, that Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine standing there by that fire with these men talking about what they're going to do with this Jesus? And he's warming his hands and he's thinking to himself, "I told him I would not do this. I told him I wouldn't quit. I told him I wouldn't deny him. I told him, though everybody else failed him, that I wouldn't. And here I am denying him." Can you imagine those thoughts going through his mind? Can you imagine how much of an utter failure he must have felt like he was on that night? Now look at verses 20 and 21. I'm sorry, verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. What's the high priest wanting to do? He's wanting to find out those who are following him. And if any of the disciples heard that, they're getting scared because they know what's going to happen to Jesus, and now they're thinking, "Oh, they're not going to just crucify Jesus. They're going to crucify us as well." So Annas now is asking, "Okay, who are your disciples? Who are those folks that's really following you? And tell us what you're teaching that's so bad." Verse number 20 and 21, Jesus answers Annas' questions. And Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing." Now, I want you to notice here that Jesus, he reminds them here through his answer that they are accountable for what they have heard. There are people today that say, "Well, I didn't get saved. I didn't want to hear it." I've had people come to me and say, "Don't tell me how to get saved, because if I hear it, then I'm accountable. I can't hear it. I don't want to know." I've had people say that. But folks, we're all going to stand accountable before God one day. And these folks are asking, and Jesus is trying to tell them, listen, I told you all these things. There's no defense witness for Jesus. All there are accusations against him. And he's standing there. The Bible said in verse 22, and when he had thus spoken, verse 21, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, which I have said unto, what I've said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. He just tells them, ask those folks here that was there. They all heard what I said. Look what happens to him when he says that. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? And take note of what Jesus said in verse 23. Jesus answered him and said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Can you imagine that man when he stands before God? And God says, you remember me? I'm the one you struck. You refused to receive me. Now in their frustration, the Bible said in chapter 18, verse 24, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. So it's obvious here that Jesus isn't going to get any fair trial. We see that. I mean, I hope you can see that, okay? So now those present knew that they couldn't get anything out of Jesus fairly, and they needed to still get approval to put him to death, because remember, the Jews could not put Jesus to death. They wanted to convince the Romans to do that. So they chose to lie and present false accusations all against Jesus. And all during this time, Peter's standing outside, warming his hands by the fire, standing with those folks that have denied Christ, those that had arrested Christ, and wondering what's going to happen. And if you'll come back next week, I'll tell you what happens. Man, what a story. And you know what? When I look at this, it was all for me, and it was all for you. What a Savior. Amen? What a Savior. Father, God, I want to thank you today for loving me. I don't know, Lord, what you ever saw in me that you would care for so much to go to the cross and suffer and bleed and die for a sinner such as me. But Father, I want to tell you again today, thank you. And Lord, I want my life to be a witness for you. And Lord, I want the folks in this Sunday school class to be able to stand before you one day and hear you say to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a debt we owe today, dear God. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. Help us, Lord, today to not deny you. And God, I pray, Lord, you'll give us strength to stand in a world that needs to see a difference. Lord, please be with Brother Hamlin today as he stands to preach. I pray, God, you'll be with our pastor there in Alaska. Keep him safe. Refresh him. Revive his heart again. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll watch over everything that's happening today with Skate Day. Keep folks safe. Let there be souls saved. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school. Amen. Good to see you today.